Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and today I have founder and CEO of Money Bliss, Hannah Beer, with me. Hannah works with ambitious women all over the world to create their relationship with money in a life-affirming, positive, and loving way. As an energy healer, family constellation expert, and certified life coach, she has woven her diverse skills into a proven and innovative capacity to allow her clients to transform their relationship with money from the inside out. It is my pleasure to welcome Hannah to our show today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Belinda.
Yeah. So Hannah, let's start by just, let's learn a little bit more about you, fill in some of the gaps of your bio, and tell us about how you came to help women in this area of money, which I'm excited to dive into this because I know that in sales for women, this is one of their biggest hangups, is actually their relationship with making and earning income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually quite funny to me that this is what my work has become, because I grew up in a family that didn't have very good wiring when it comes to money. My grandparents on my mom's side were refugees during World War II, arrived in Germany and had nothing. My family on my dad's side, so I'm the daughter of a German mom, American dad, also of German ancestry, and my dad's side of the family are so incredibly poor still to this day. None of us really went to university or college or anything like that. And money has always been this fascinating topic for me. Growing up, I always looked at, you know, my friends who went on vacation and who didn't need to. I started working at 11 because I needed to earn money for school supplies, and I haven't stopped since. And it was just fascinating to me that some people were able to take time off and, you know, have nice things and seemingly not worry about money. So that has just become such a fascination. And I never thought that one day I would actually have something to teach about that.
So how did that come to pass?
Yeah, I think out of necessity. When I was in my early 20s, I was struggling with an anxiety disorder. I had depression. I just, like, life felt so insurmountable for me. And I had so many doubts around my own ability to take care of myself financially. Even when I had money, even when I was, you know, saving every month and my wealth was growing, even then it still didn't feel enough because I had this story internalized somehow that said, I'm not good with money. I can't trust myself around money. It could be taken away at any point. And so it just felt like life kind of pushed me and forced me to look more deeply at my money story. So I try to find as many opportunities to heal my relationship with money as I could. So it feels like I tried everything and it felt like 95% wasn't working. But then somehow I stumbled across family constellation therapy, which was a really unexpected solution for me that really helped me with my money.
Great. So how did that help you with that? Like, so maybe you can explore and talk to our listeners just a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what family constellation therapy is, it's an energetic healing modality that is designed to bring harmony and healing into your family of origin. And when I first discovered family constellation therapy, my mentor at the time started to open my eyes to something that is now so apparent to me. She said that money is an expression of love in your life. So the way that love flowed between me and my caregivers when I was little directly correlates to how money now flows in my life today, because money is an expression of love. So I need to kind of backtrack a little bit to explain that for a moment. So when you were little, your parents ideally would have taken care of you and nurtured you, given you shelter and food and toys to play with. They would have ideally met all of your needs. Now that you are grown up, money becomes like a third parent who's supposed to help you meet your needs in that way. And so when we grow up in families where it's not normal for us to have all of our needs met, where it's not normal to feel safe and nurtured and taken care of, later on in life, that becomes really difficult for us to create. It may be that all those opportunities and ideas are all around you for you to create that for yourself, but it's such a foreign concept that you're unable to act on it, if that makes sense.
Yes. I mean, it's interesting. I've not heard this concept before, but yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about money, because it really goes to the roots of who we are. Healing a relationship with money is lovely because, of course, you know, our income grows and our savings grow and our net worth grows and our investments are able to grow. And like, it's lovely to see that growth in our life. That's really fun. And being able to buy whatever we want and be really resourceful, feel really taken care of in that way is lovely. And the thing that for me felt so incredibly healing about working on my relationship with money was that it really forced me to address my confidence issues, and it gave me the gift of filling in those deepest desires that I had, you know, desires like wanting to feel really safe, wanting to be able to trust myself. And so money to me has now become this incredible journey of healing that of course brings amazing gifts on the outside, but really deep, wonderful healing on the inside.
It is so interesting to me because I know women that really struggle with the making of money, like the earning of it. They almost feel guilty or ashamed that they shouldn't have it. Or, you know, there's all these concepts of money, like money is the root of all evil and that you're sort of being greedy. And so what are three tips that you can give our listeners that can help people start to have a better relationship with money?
Yeah, those examples you just provided are so incredibly common. And I feel like we've all heard these messages in society or even through our families in some way, and we've internalized them, and they're really blocking us. And what I want to add to that is that our ability to receive money is also determined by what I touched on earlier, which is our capacity to have love. Because money is an expression of love in your life. It's supposed to make you feel safe and warm and cozy and free and delighted and all those things. So the first thing that I can give you as advice is to think about your relationship with your parents when you were little. Ideally, love would have felt completely dependable and there was like plenty of it and you were loved through whatever emotional ups and downs that you had and your parents were always there for you. Most of us didn't have like angelic perfect parents like that. They did their best and so they weren't perfect. And so if for you, it feels more like love was elusive, like it wasn't always there. It was really hard to depend on it and it felt like it was never enough. In that case, I'm wondering if now in your relationship with money today, it also feels like money is not enough, like it's really hard to receive it. And so what I'm asking you to do here is to feel in your body your receiving capacity. You know, like it's something that many people can tap into and they can kind of feel, you know, yeah, like it's really difficult for me to receive that much love in the form of money. For other people, it more feels like they did receive money, love from their parents, but it always came at a price. So they needed to be nice and perform and fit into the family's idea of who they were supposed to be, and then they would be loved. And so later on in life, we have a pattern of betraying ourselves for money, or it feels like I have to work hard for money, I have to be a certain way for money. Money can only be earned in this one way, and it can definitely never be earned just by me being me and actually feeling really good in my own skin. So if that is you, I'd like you to ponder if maybe in your life today it feels like you have to perform or hurt yourself in order to receive money. again, with some other people, it feels like money is this thing that you can't always depend on. Like sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And that's usually the case when the expression of love between you and your caregivers when you were little was not dependable. So the first step I want to invite you guys to do, just to recap, is to think about your relationship with your parents when you were little and how that impacts your ability to receive love in the form of money today. And when I first did this, I was like, oh, geez, it's so clear that I'm in camp number one, where it feels like it's never, ever, ever enough. And for me, the healing was to expand my capacity to have love. And as I did that, I was actually able to retain, grow, and have money. So I wasn't constantly like looking for money or creating more money. That's one part of the equation, but I was actually able to become someone who always has money. I hope you're able to see the difference.
Yes, it's very, very, very interesting. And I think that that's why when you try to talk to people about it's okay to earn money, it's okay to like money, if you don't have any kind of reference around it, I just think it's hard for people to really break through and see why they feel that way.
Right. It's like the body says no. Your mind says, oh, there's a great opportunity that I can act on, or, oh, there's this like business idea, or, oh, I can join this program and learn how to sell really effectively and with love and integrity. Or, you know, somebody might even give you money, but then you just kind of, it feels like it's running through your fingers, or maybe you're even receiving money, but you're holding so much shame around it because it feels like you're not deserving of it. And it's because our mind can think one thing, but there needs to be a capacity in your body to be able to hold and enjoy and receive the lovely feelings that come with increased abundance in your life. So as we expand the outer, we have to expand the inner as well.
Great. So what have you discovered for yourself? Like everybody's got sort of their superpowers. What have you discovered for yourself that are your strengths that have helped you on this journey?
Yeah, this was such a plot twist for me because for the longest time, you know, self-doubt was my Achilles heel. And I think it still is today. I would believe that now it's more self-reflection. So I turned it into a strength somehow. But I always questioned my ability. Am I good enough to be a business owner? Am I good? Is my marketing good enough? Is this good enough? Is that good enough? It's just always like questioning and doubting. And it's just been so exhausting. And I've just been really struggling to get myself to do business the way it should be done because I'm very sensitive. I'm very introverted. I'm very, I'm clairvoyant. So I see energy. So I'm receiving so much information all the time that I live a very calm and peaceful life. And the belief that I had developed was that that would be at odds with being a success in the world because my examples of success that I saw was you need to be extroverted and out there and share yourself and talk. And to some extent, that is true. But for me, the way that I am wired kind of forced me to do business and to run my life in a way that's really unique to me. And in a way that kind of became my superpower because I realized that my clients are kind of in the same boat. Most of us are trying to get ourselves to do life or to do business or to do anything the way it should be done. When there is what I call our soul's path, like our soul approach to life, like the way that we're uniquely wired to approach money and abundance and growth and success in our own unique way. And so I think one of my superpowers has been to not only identify that within myself, what is Hannah's path? What is Hannah's approach? What is my most prosperous way of living? And to also support my clients in discovering that for themselves and implementing that. And then the most difficult part is to stay on track because the world's going to try and like pull you away and tell you, no, this is not good enough. And you need to do this, you need to do that. And so for us to stay fully, firmly planted on our soul's path is what I believe an absolute superpower in with money and business.
Wow. So what is one of the greatest accomplishments you feel like you've reached in having your business or in life?
Oh, it's so clear to me. I started my business because I saw my mom work, 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 and she could never spend as much time with us, her children, as she wanted. And at an early age, I decided when I grow up, when I have children, I'm going to be able to spend as much time as I want at home without compromise, without needing to sacrifice anything. And so I started my business and built my business with that in mind. And I had my daughter almost 2 years ago. And I realized that dream for myself. I took as much time off as I wanted in the beginning. I went back to work when I wanted. I'm able to make my own schedule. I'm able to decide how much money I'm earning each month. That's absolutely my biggest win. Like being able to be a mom, be a business owner, and without needing to compromise, without needing to sacrifice time with my daughter or sacrifice creating something in my business that's really close to my heart.
So do you think that this is an interesting thing? I'm listening to what you're saying and how it all works. So your mom worked to make money for your family, but that was a sacrifice to you that you never saw her. So then is that your equation with, if I work really hard to make money, I'm going to miss out on all the things that are super important to me?
That used to be my story. That used to be a really big fear of mine. And it felt like I had one foot on the gas, one foot on the brakes, because I thought if I become more successful in the conventional way and then have children, my children are going to suffer. And I knew that for me, the people I love are so much more important. Like I can always work more. I can always make more money. I can always, you know, like hit my professional milestones, but my daughter will only ever be this small once. So for me, it was I made the decision because at that point I felt so much more confident. I made the decision to figure it out. I was like, I'm not going to either make sacrifices in my career by not going for what I truly want, because I want to, this is just who I am. Like I need to live in integrity. If there is something that wants to come through me to be created, if my soul sends me a goal or a desire, I take that seriously. So if my soul tells me, this is our income that we want to make this year, these are the hours that we want to work, these are the amounts of clients that we're going to work with, like I take that seriously. Like it's done, it's going to happen. And I think at some point I just made the decision that both things need to be possible, both the personal and the professional, without compromise, without hurting either me or those I love most. And it became a really beautiful creative exercise of figuring out what that looks like. And one of my big surprises was just how much I can get done in such little time. It's amazing. Like if I have 2 hours to work, if you could look over my shoulder at everything that I'm creating in that time, I would have never believed it years ago that that would even be possible.
It is really amazing. Two things that you said there is, I think it really does come down to people making clear-cut decisions about the path they want to take or that they don't want to take or how they feel. Because until you really get clear about that, I think it's very difficult to sort of find the right path or to stay on that track. And so I loved that you said that I finally made the decision that it wasn't going to be like this. And I think that the other thing is the power of what you can get done when you're extremely focused. And that's what people don't realize either, that you can accomplish so much in a short span of time if you are truly focused on it.
Absolutely. I think for a year and a half, I ran my business on 1 hour a day of work.
Mm-hmm.
And everything if I had heard about that even just 2 years, 3 years ago or something, I would not have believed that that is enough to really like grow something. And it wasn't stagnation. It wasn't, oh, I'm just going to, you know, keep the day-to-day going. And I don't have a big team. Like this is another thing that I discovered about myself. For years, I was like hiring and I trying to figure out how the team thing works. Because everybody told me like at your level in business, you need to have a team. And it's just fascinating to me how small my team still is and how little I work. And just how when I'm really, like you said, like really clear, like this is what we're creating this year. And it's like, it's a non-negotiable. There's no ifs, whats, or whatever is about it. It's going to happen. And then to find the most direct path. A lot of this has to do with self-worth though. So So as I was clearing my own hangups around money, my own emotional hooks, my own confidence wobbles, my own doubts, my self-worth started to increase. And I allowed myself to take the most direct, most profitable path to where I wanted to be. Whereas before, I would take like all the detours and all the this and that. I'd be like, I have to work 8 hours a day and it's still not done. Whereas now I'm like, I love myself enough to give myself exactly what I want in the most direct way.
Wow, that's great. So let's talk about a challenge or an obstacle that you faced and then how you worked through that in your business.
So many. I could talk about my obstacles and mistakes and failures forever. Feels like when I look back at my life, it's just mistake, learning, mistake, learning, mistake, learning. Oh, so many. Where should I start? I think one of my big mistakes is to look outside of myself so much and to compare and to try to find the way when there was only my way.
And how do you think that you came to that sort of conclusion? How, I think that's a difficult thing for people. I do think that people want to so emulate what other people are doing. They read books, and I think there's definitely helpful tips that you can get from that. But how do you find that way that works for you?
For me, I feel like life has been so relentlessly kind for me by slamming doors in my face. This has just been my life experience has been, Hannah has a plan. She tries to do it the, you know, right way, whatever that is. And life is like, nope, and just goes, bam, door in my face. Like, it's not working. Whether that's very clearly clients not signing up, whether that's me just feeling completely exhausted, burned out, uninspired, not knowing what to even say in my marketing, hiring the wrong people. Like, those are all examples of just the door being slammed shut in my face and me being forced to go in a different direction. My best insights in terms of practical steps to take come in my, oh, screw this moments. When like my knees are on the ground, I'm just like forehead on the ground, like sobbing, being like, I did everything right. I did everything I was supposed to do. Why is it still not working? I feel so ashamed. How come everybody else has got their stuff together and I work so hard, it's just not working? And then I say the magical sentence. Every time I go there, I'm like, ah, screw it. I'm just gonna blank. And so what comes after I'm just gonna, to me, has become my personal recipe for success, which is I'm just gonna write whatever is on my heart, or I'm just gonna trust that the right clients are gonna come, or I'm just gonna relax and live my life a little more, or I'm just gonna, I don't know, contact 200 people on the internet and see if any one of them want to collaborate with me in business in some way. So it's that state of surrender, of screw it, of being forced to just take a new path. And this that has been my very unelegant process that really taught me that failing forward is the path to success. Like, for me, there is no other way. Like, my only process is make a mistake, learn from it, keep going. And I learned to not feel ashamed about that anymore, but to know that that is the way.
Right. And I love that because there are two things in there. One is we talk a lot about failing forward, and there is really no failing. It's like, okay, that didn't work, but I'm going to find another path. I'm going to stay on my path. Like when you said, I'm just going to reach out to 200 people. I'm going to continue to write what I want to write. The key in there is that you keep going and you don't keep doing it the exact same way that you were trying. It's like, you know, everybody says keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different result. That's like insanity, right? That's that sort of uncommon or that common definition of insanity is just really just keep doing it, hoping for a different result. So it's learning like, okay, that didn't work. So what's next? Okay, so what am I going to do? And that's where so many people get hung up in, well, that didn't work. I failed. And there really is no failing. Like you said, you fail forward. You keep moving. There is no failure. You just learn from mistakes. And when you learn from those mistakes, you don't make them again or you make them differently. But the other thing in there is I think the really challenging thing for so many people is this, what is normal? Like we look at other people and we think, oh, it's this picture of success, but nobody really talks about, like, even when I have asked this question on my show, very rarely can people really give a solid example. Well, this happened to me. And I love it when people tell a story or this is what happened and this is how I circumvented that. And as much as I want that, it's very difficult to sort of draw that out of people because people want to just tell the success story. They want to say, oh, and so that's what we see. We see that on Facebook. We see that in social media. We see it everywhere around us. We see it in books. People want to say, here's where I was. Here's what I did. Here's the path. But nobody wants to say, here's what happened to me along the way. And here's how I dealt with it. Because all of those pieces are what made you successful. And that's where I really do see it, even within this show, that people don't want to share that. And then consequently, everybody compares themselves to everybody who just didn't have any struggles at all. And that's not a true story.
It's very misleading. And it breeds shame. Because I feel like all of us are sitting in so much shame already. We don't need more of that. What helps me so much is, like you said, to hear real stories of what it's like for people. I was blessed early on in my business to have met many of the people I idolized and worshipped online in person. And my eyes just flew wide open when they talked about, you know, I have to sell my house because I can't pay for my private school tuition for my kids anymore because my business didn't make any money in this launch and I have a huge team. And I was like, what? Because I was projecting all of these ideas onto them to think that they're perfect. They don't have any problems and everything is great. And then I met other people who were like so successful according to my personal definition of success, which is like my definition of success, especially with money, is to not even really need to think about it much, where you just like have so much of it and your work is like enlivening your soul and it's like really harmonious and happy and relaxed and you get to do whatever you want with your life and like a really flowy, relaxed kind of, that's my definition of success. And I also met people like that and I'm often really surprised at how wrong my judgment was on the surface. Like if you had given me, say, like 20 websites of different people, I probably would have judged like the real situation wrong based on what they were showing on the outside. And it really helped me kind of take a step back and be like, you just don't know. So don't even make any assumptions. And that has really helped me. It's been a great reality check. So now when I see someone and the little voice inside of me is like, she's doing so well. She's so great. She's so much better than me. I could never da 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 da. I just take a step back and I'm like, I don't know what the real situation looks like. It could be what they're saying it is. It could not be. It doesn't matter. I come back to myself and I keep on doing whatever my soul is telling me to do next.
I love that so much. So this is sort of our signature question of the show. What does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place is pretty much a summary of what we've talked about. For me, I have to have my blinders on. There is no other way because I'm so easy to be distracted. So I just imagine I'm like a horse, put my blinders on, I tune into my center. I trust that my business chose me for a reason. I'm very sensitive, very clairvoyant. I get so much intuitive information. And one of the pieces of information I received a couple of years ago was to trust that my business chose me for a reason, that the ideas that come to me are not just me making up crazy things that are unrealistic. No, like the ideas chose me to bring them to fruition. Like it is a very sacred thing to receive a desire like that. And so now I take it very seriously. So working from my happy place is about being really tuned inside to honor the ideas and the business ventures and everything that is coming through me and to continuously just take the next step. And the next step is always right under my nose. It's like a moving meditation. It's like, what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? And instead of thinking, is it working? To ask, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? To just step after step after step, I'm stumbling ahead and on the way, creating something really lovely that is often surprisingly so much better than what I could have dreamed up.
Wow, that's great. So what advice would you give to others wanting to have their own business or be on this entrepreneurial road?
Yeah, you said it so eloquently earlier, was to just keep going. One of the things that I learned about money especially, but it also pertains to success, is that it's a natural resource. So money will always ebb and flow. So will success. So will the amounts of clients. So will your team members. You know, just like the economy is going up and down, and then it's raining, and then it's like sunny again, like the weather is changing and your garden is growing and then snow is falling in the winter. Like everything is ebbing and flowing in the natural world. And to me, money is a part of that and success is a part of that. So just kind of take a big step back and look at the bigger patterns. Things are going to go up, things are going to come back down. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong. That's just the natural ebb and flow of life on this planet. And all you have to do is see the patterns. That's just for your own personal reassurance. Because when you can see the pattern, you can be like, okay, you know, next thing, we're currently in a down period, it's going to go up again. And you can just hold yourself throughout it. But just keep riding it. Just keep sticking with it. Just keep tweaking until you feel like you're finding your own flow. Because I promise you, the crazy idea that led you to become an entrepreneur, it chose you. It's there for a reason, and you absolutely have what it takes to bring it to fruition. But the only way you can do it is your way.
Wow, that was really, really great advice. So any new and exciting things that you're working on that our listeners might benefit from?
I always have secret things.
Okay.
So since I'm so easily distracted, I keep my things secret and then I go, kapow, there you go. So you can join my mailing list on my website, hannahbeer.com. And, you know, always be kept in the loop about what I'm cooking up. And I also have some affirmation cards that are really different from the affirmations that you may know. You can find them at hannahbeer.com, which is hannahbeer.com/affirmations. That's what I'm really excited about right now. Those are amazing affirmation cards. Like I said, really different from anything that is available. And they help you take the first steps into a new and fruitful and, dare I say, even blissful relationship with money. So you don't ever have to worry about money ever again for the rest of your life. That is the mission that I'm on, because way too many of us feel blocked and worried about money. Doesn't have to be that way.
I love that so much. Well, thank you, Hannah, for sharing with us today. I think that this is an issue for a tremendous amount of people. There was so many little nuggets that you said. And the one that I really, really liked was the ebb and flow. Like, that is life. It is the economy. It is business. It is the seasons. It is everything, like the different stages in your life, the different stages with your children. Like, they'll go through a phase. Well, they're not going to be in that phase forever. It's going to change. It is really important for people to remember that. I think that these last 2 years have been a struggle for a lot of people, and things still aren't back to what they would like to call normal. And they're trying to find a new way, and it's exhausting. And I think that getting back to realizing that all of life has this ebb and flow, and you just need to ride that out and keep moving forward. I think that that is the biggest message today. But I also think for people to dig deep within themselves to understand their relationship with money and relating that to how you receive love and how you were cared for, it's all very, very interesting. Those were my big sort of takeaways today. And I hope our audience can sort of tap into that and really receive the message that you delivered today.
It gives me chills. I love Aww. Talking about money in this way.
I know. I do too. So, Hannah, thanks so much for being on today. To all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you so much, each and every single one of you. And if you can follow or subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode, that would be amazing. But most importantly, share us with a friend. You know, let other people know about the great interviews and tips and things that we're providing for business entrepreneurs, artists alike. So thanks so much, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.